Meeting order. Do you have a quorum?
Thank you very much.
As part of the chairman's report, I would like to remind everybody once more that please raise your hand to be recognized, and then I will recognize you to speak, and then we can move on from there. Public comment? Yes, sir.
I just had an order of events for the regular business. I request to move item F to the top for Pam so she can escape.
I was going to suggest that myself. So she can escape?
That's okay, we'll find her.
So she can get back to work. All right, so yes, we'll move F up to the top. All right, no other public comment. We'll have the consent agenda consists only of the consideration to approve the meetings, the minutes of the last meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve?
I move to approve the minutes as written.
I second.
Second? We have movement and second, and all in favor? Aye. We have a unanimous. We only have four people.
Only four,
I should say that we only have four of the five members here. Mm-hmm. Brad Fowles is in the hospital undergoing an operation, so he's not here today.
Is he okay?
All right. So we're past the consent agenda, we're on to regular business, and item F is discuss and review capital improvement project budget of Vactor truck and approve staff recommendations. Anybody have any questions or discussions about what they're looking for? Do we need to, besides have a motion, do we need to actually send something to the finance committee so that they know that we think this is the right thing to do, or what do we need to do?
Yeah, that's what we're asking for, is your committee to support staff's recommendation to not reallocate these funds. And if you support that decision, then the next step would be to take that to the finance committee, and then it would be then discussed with the board during the next quarterly report.
Okay. So do we have support for moving funding from the budget that was supposed to be for the Vactor truck, and now we don't need all that money for the Vactor truck because we got all the deal, and we don't need any money this year because we have no payment this year, and next year the payment will be
around $86,000.
Okay, so we had $95,000, as I recall, budgeted this year.
That's correct.
Still got it.
So we're proposing, it's actually the very last page of your packet. It got put onto the very back. There is a staff report that is drafted just to outline what our recommendation is, and that is to leave the $95,000 as unspent for the year and just let it go to reserves at the end of the year.
And then it would just
be reprogrammed right in the following year.
Very good.
I move we accept the staff's recommendations.
Okay, we have
a second.
And a second.
Yep.
All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Passes 4-0. I don't even vote. That's right. I forgot about that.
Right.
4-0. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Mr. Hill, for your attending our meeting. We'll now move on to item 3A. Although we've had a request from someone who's not here to delay this one, I don't have any problem with that. So let's move to 3B. Receive a report from the video ad hoc committee.
Okay.
Since there's only one of you here.
Yeah, I'll do my best to give you guys a report. I've got about a 5-minute video. I'm glad to show you what we have. What we've learned in the process is that maybe some of these topics could be better spent if we break them down even further. And so, like, for example, finding a water meter might be its own topic in itself. Reading it might be its own topic in itself, sort of thing. And so, glad to show you guys what we have. What it really amounts to is that we're kind of in the process of creating a video. When we got to 5 minutes, I kind of realized this isn't going to be viewable from a click and just watch sort of stance. And so that's kind of the concern that I have. That being said, too, I'll also say that the audio and a lot of the editing stuff is stuff that we're refining as we go. So that's kind of it. But this is just an intro to show you guys what we have.
Name that too, Harry.
Thank you. Sarah, are you guys? Today
we're going to talk about water. We have water for your own. So one of the things just real quick there is that we have an awesome shop that Brad was able to find for us. So that's one of the values that I see in some of this is that we actually have a pretty good location.
Harry, you can come watch. He's going to start it again.
Yeah, I can start it again. Okay. And this is... I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this in 10 inches just because it's really just rough at this point.
Yeah.
Welcome to the first of our informational videos designed to keep you informed of infrastructure about 218 projects throughout your community. Today we're going to talk about water meters. We have water meter here on the bench. One of the most important ways water gets calculated is through water meter, and it's also one of the most important ways we can have the water. So today, we're going to talk about the water meter. Over here on the bench, we have a water meter for us to look at. So let's take a quick look at what we need to know about how this water meter tells us what we need to know. There's this clock face, and it has the red sweeping thing on it, the blue star, although sometimes they're red, the blue round thing. The spin when the water goes through it, and then we have the odometer looking thing that tells us how many cubic feet have gone through here. It takes one spin of the red dial to give us 7.48 gallons.
You guys do a close up of that dial?
Yeah, we do. And like what I'll say just to pause it right here is that we could watch the whole thing. There's a lot of things that when we watched it afterwards, we were like, you know what, let's go back and like do this a little bit better and make this right. And that's going to, like, for two guys, basically what I joked around with Brad is this looks like two guys sat around in a garage and put a video together. And that's what we did. We can do a lot more than what this is okay. Right now. So that's basically what I would say.
Yeah, so we got the ideas to have quality stuff. You know, it looks good.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
So, all right. That's right. Very good. We'll see you next month.
It was
very personable right off the bat. It was very engaging. We wanted to watch it.
It was. I only have one comment.
Sure.
I loved the music in the beginning, but Brad started talking while the music was still playing and he couldn't hear him.
And we're gonna definitely do that and dial that. What this was his audio track, and we were trying to find clever ways to bring that in. Audio with vocals and music with vocals just doesn't mix with people talking.
Was that Brad playing?
That is his song.
You know, yeah, Brad was in a band for over 30 years. He was the lead singer.
So we'll be able to come up with our own stuff on our own time and kind of add to it as things go. Okay.
I think it looks good so far.
Yeah, with the close-up, what Jim was saying about the close-up, getting the close-up faster,
yeah.
Having
yeah,
some,
like
sort,
like
of,
to see
some sort of pointer or some kind of...
We have one later on, and it wasn't even good enough to where I would say is mm-hmm. good enough, but we have one where it's actually running, and so you can actually see the dial moving and the rest of that, and that's really where I think we were trying to get the... And going back to that, that's where in my mind I'm like, we really should have two videos. We should have one that's how to read a water meter and see how that's going, and then how to find your water meter, which... Mm-hmm. In itself was its own kind of content-worthy kind of thing, if that makes sense. So.
Sure. Yeah. People can go out there and look at the five things you've got on water meters or whatever and click on whichever one they want to get.
You lose, if you start making like Cambria Water District video and you make a 4-hour long video that covers everything, and you know, now we have a 4-hour documentary that no one's ever going to watch.
Nobody will ever watch it. Yeah.
But somebody on one of your videos should show how you can read the number of units that are going to be recorded.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the person can have an expectation of understanding how to read it by the time they get their bill.
Yeah. And that's actually a good point, is like when we were trying to do this as how to find your water meter and how to read your water meter and the rest of it, you end up having to kind of skirt past some of these details. And if you just take it each topic at a time, I think you can really become more more complete in that, and basically create more value in each of those specific things as opposed to trying to cover the whole thing.
Okay. All right, next one is review of updated CIP list with color codes. I think, John, that what we did looks good, okay? But Karen has a few items, but I agree with her that there's things that we've done that are missing from the list. And it's because they were done, I guess, last fiscal year.
That could be. I mean, we're... this is a lockdown list of what you've approved as a board.
Okay.
So, you know, unless we want to create a working list of something.
Okay. This is the list that was approved by the board that R&I had used since R&I was formed. This list that we have now was the list that when Don Howell was the chair, he and I met with John Alchin and Jim Green and Melissa, and we went through and we reprioritized the list. And at that point, we dropped off the things that had been done prior to May 2019. But I think that one of the things, especially that I was thinking when we talked about doing this color-coded list, which, by the way, I think looks fantastic, but I think that part of our intention in doing this is so that the public can see what their Prop 218 funds were used for. And the Prop 218 funds were used in the fiscal year 2018 and 19 for things that are not on this color-coded list. And I have the list from before, and I've marked on here what things that did get done that are not on this list. If maybe we can put at the bottom of wastewater and the bottom of water and the bottom of the SWF, add just a little spot at the bottom that shows what was done 2018-19, so that eventually that list of projects done in the previous fiscal year will get longer than the list of things that still need to be done, so that people can see that yes, we're accomplishing things, and yes, this is your money's being put to good use.
Okay,
do you want me to read this to you? Just give it to you.
Can we have Karen get together with Melissa if she wants to?
Yeah, I think, so first of all, 2 points. So we'll have to go back to the old list. This sounds like this was a working list of some sort.
This is what we...
It was a revised list.
Yeah.
It should be, there's only one CIP list, and that's the one published by the board. So
yeah, well, this was from...
Next point is, if we want to do something else, we have to characterize what that is.
This was published by the board.
Okay.
We went through when we were talking about doing the IGA, and we recategorized it so that the top few things were the things included in the IGA. Okay, so we redid that. We dropped out the things that already had gotten done, and both John Alchin and Jim Green reprioritized the things that were left. And we did that just before having a joint meeting with the Finance Committee to discuss and approve the PG&E IGA. So this was a board-approved list. It's just this new list just now doesn't have the things that got done.
Okay.
So,
all right, so it sounds like we need to...
You don't need to redo this. Just add that little part at the bottom.
Yeah, so I
or a separate list.
What we need to caucus on this, because I'm already confused of what lists, you know, there should be only one list.
Mm-hmm.
And if we start creating other lists for other purposes, everyone's going to get confused. The second point I was going to make is, again, we should not consider this a list of Prop 218 completions. Those two should not be in the same sentence. Prop 218 increased the budget. All that extra money just got thrown into a big budget.
Okay, we could
that
say they're
increases
rates.
Our ability to do different things, but it's not that increase does not tag specifically that specific items.
Okay.
So if by characterizing it as 218 directly goes to items, it's not correct.
Can we just say this is what your rates have paid for?
Your increase, I think we can, I'd have to maybe think about it with the Finance Committee, but
Well, I mean, the quarterly budgets actually record that information in the details. I suppose that could be lifted from there to here. The only thing that concerns me is that the list itself is complex enough. And if we start having to lift some information from one place to another, the potential for there being a disconnect at any point in time because of timing could be an issue. And I'm trying to think mm-hmm. through this to see if there's some way that this, I'll call it a master CIP list, could satisfy all the needs that are being expected or requested of them. And it sounds like there's the CIP list that started out initially. There's the IGA turnkey embedded work content to that CIP list.
Right.
And then there is a desire to have a definition of what's been completed, what's in process, and what's outstanding. And then the fourth element seems to be, and oh, by the way, what were, quote unquote, the 218 funds that were expended against those different categories. I don't know if there's going to be one document that's going to satisfy all of those without being like this and having all of these subcategories of information.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. It shouldn't just be focused on Prop 218 funds, but it's the ratepayers' money that is paying for this stuff, so maybe go that mm-hmm. way. But I'm not suggesting that this get updated on a regular basis. I'm only looking at once a fiscal year.
Well, that's where confusion will come in, because the quarterly budgets are updating it on a quarterly basis.
Yeah.
And people will start seeing different numbers.
Okay. This I think what we intended for this was this to be blown up on a poster board to be mounted on the wall just once mm-hmm. every quarter or half a year. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to be a living document that changes every time we do something.
And if you're going to be, I guess what I'm inferring by that also is that if you're going to record 218 information in that format, that it would need to be updated on a quarterly basis, because that quarterly data is reflected in the actuals that are part of the reporting mechanism of the budget process. That's updated on a quarterly basis.
I don't understand. John didn't want anything that we do connected with 218.
Right.
You're saying
and I
the
agree
finance committee is saying that they do that.
No. I'm not saying the finance committee is doing it. I'm saying the budget, our budget for the district, has information that shows what the 218 rates would bring to us as an estimate, as a budgetary estimate. And it has also listings of actual items within the enterprises that are projects that are done, and has the monies that were spent for that shown. So there is a correlation between financial information that's part of that extended budget data, where the actuals are shown on a quarterly basis, mm-hmm. and the CIP.
It seems that, to simplify, which I think John would want, we're basically asking to produce a progress report toward the completion or the progress on the CIP. Mm-hmm. And if we did it, and no reference to the source of the funds or anything like that, but a progress report, could that be done, say, quarterly with a quarterly budget and a new one of these produced? So in other words, every four times a year, you'll have a new one of these charts with the colors changing, what are the colors progressing, and that's it. Could that be done? It sounds like the simple approach.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I guess the engineering department doesn't want to do this because they want it's more work for them and their priorities constantly shift and change. But yeah, bottom line is we can do this.
Yeah. And, yeah. I don't want to make more work. Obviously, more work for staff.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
If staff doesn't want to do it, maybe you turn it back over to the committee here, and we can do it.
Yeah.
Well,
all we need is the input from somebody, okay, on your staff that says these are the projects that have been completed, these are the ones that are in progress, and these are the ones that have been budgeted, and then we can take it from there.
Sure.
Yeah.
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 We can do the color coding, we can send it to ASAP.
My only comments had to do with the recording of actual cost, the 218 or such. However,
And the reason I'm saying quarterly is that if you do a quarterly budget update, that would be produce the revised data for the projects that are budgeted, I would assume, because that might change a little bit. That's why I suggested quarterly.
Yeah. The problem with using their data is that their data, okay, is always 3 months old.
Their data meaning budget, finance, right. Finance committee.
Right. By the time it gets to the board, okay, the progress is 3 months old.
Okay, so it has to be done out of staff.
So we could have completed three things, and people would know that. But so we could do it so that it was reasonably up to date.
Could staff, you know, in a fairly simple, straightforward, easy way, just produce that data, and we can package it,
and we can package
basically.
Yeah, so I think we just have to figure out what, you know, go back to the main CIP list and just simply update that list that was approved by the board, and we can do that on a quarterly basis, keep it updated. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, a question, this has to be, and this is kind of thinking ahead for how information might be looked at. The IGA data, when we do get down to the point where we're actually going forward potentially on individual projects that might be part of the CIP list, there will also, of course, be financial reports that probably be generated from PG&E or by ourselves that actually show costs incurred or what the contract to contract value is. And granted, they'll be fixed price, but people will want to know what those are. I'm assuming you don't intend to migrate that into the CIP data.
Well, we would update the numbers.
As far as the budget is concerned.
As far as the cost. They say they're going to do, if we have $300,000 in there, and they say they're going to do it for $299,
right.
We're going to put $299.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah. As a budget, it's for a fixed price.
Okay, are we good?
Yeah, and I agree. Yeah, it shouldn't be tied to the Prop 218 funds. Sorry.
That's okay. All right. Next, item D is a report on the consultant for the Urban Water Management Plan. Mr. Weigel.
Sure, so our extension on the request for proposal, request for qualifications, came to a close. We still had only one response to the RFP, and the company is WSC Consultants. They came in significantly over our budget, primarily because we added the CDP permit requirement studies to that RFP, and so. We've got to do two things. One, look at our requirements that we asked the consultant to perform to see if we can cull that back given what we now know, which is a little different but pretty close to what we originally asked, and or increase or modify our budget to move some monies from things we budgeted for to cover the cost of the consultant. So that's going to require us to have those conversations internally as staff and together with the consultant, and then come back to the R&I to approve the staff recommendation. Then we'll take that to the finance committee. City committee to identify how we handle this in the budget.
Okay. Questions? Comments?
I guess guess I do have a question. So Pablo Ogren, is he still in our situation, or is he just...
Currently, he does not work for us.
Okay. Is there any hope, or
he's on sabbatical. The board needs to decide at some point whether we need to bring him back.
Okay. It seems like in this, to my recollection, being involved, is that he was advocating for the UWP and the CDP to kind of be merged together, and you might be able to speak to how to optimize that.
He helps us out on the covert lead side every now and then, but I think the staff needs to speed with Ray. I think we've got a handle on what we may need to get done. I don't think we need to engage Pablo at this point.
Okay.
And we need a discussion at some point whether we need to bring Pablo back at all. So, and we'll get to that.
And of note is our district engineer is attending two training conferences today and tomorrow up in Sacramento with one of the consultants from this group. So they'll have some conversations while there. And one of the conferences is regarding the urban water management plan and how to put it together.
Good. All right. Very good. So we'll look forward to another report on that later as part of the next meeting, or maybe we will need to convene a special meeting in order to get that done quickly so we can get the guy. Okay. Good. All right. Review of updated ad hoc committee list. I wanted to do this just to make sure that you guys all got a chance to look at it and understand what the direction is on all of those, and that we're cool. That has anybody got any questions or issues with what we put in there? Yeah.
The UMWP committee, how is their assignment going to be changed? They won't meet for a while until you restart the process, the bidding process, right? But they're still on, they're just kind of on hold. I also want to ask Karen to give us an update a little bit on the Water Demand Management Committee that we were supposed to bring back a, you know, final draft, and you know, I prepared one with new data, and then we decided, I think Karen can address this, we decided to wait until the data that now is being generated on the offset program can be incorporated into it. So I don't know if there's any more to add to that.
Yeah, Tom updated the billed water usage and all of that through 2019.
Right.
But our impression was that you wanted the retrofit and conservation data included in our report. So we're waiting until that gets going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is now cleared to go. So what do you estimate, John, for the completion of entering the data?
That's a great question. It's 6 years of data. It's a lot of data to input. I don't have an estimate right now.
Okay. Okay. And I know that the guy that we've hired is doing other things in addition to that. Mm-hmm. So we can understand that, but
it's on the front burner.
Right.
It's a priority.
Be aware that we'll probably be asking you for an update on that on every meeting that we have from now on.
Sure.
Until it's done. Okay. But you can ask Jim on your way over here. How are you doing, Jim? Piles a little bit smaller than that.
Okay. So we're just on hold until we get some of that.
Yes.
Okay.
He's within eyesight of me, so I've got oversight.
Good. All right, anything else on the ad hoc committee list? All right, very good.
Just a spelling mistake. you know me in spelling. On water conservation and gray water use, it's Brad Fowles, not Fowles.
Oh, Fowles. Okay.
All right, we are now on item number 3G, discussion regarding reimbursement of standing committee travel expenses.
We don't want it.
Yeah. I don't know where this came from.
You can't pay me for the number of Marriott points we've accomplished or accumulated in our lives. There's just no, it's all going to be covered under that. So that's
good.
Tina, yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. We are here because we volunteered. We're here because we wanted to do something to help our community. We're doing this on a voluntary basis, not expecting reimbursement for anything. Those of us going down to Orange County are perfectly happy doing it on our own dime. That tour is something that any member of the public can call and say, I want to tour this, and it's no charge. So it's on us, and we're perfectly fine with that, and if you offered to reimburse us, we would refuse it. Okay? It's different when it is something that is a requirement for us to be on this committee. Brown Act training. We had an attorney come and give all of the standing committee members and staff members Brown Act training. I'm sure they paid that attorney. That's different because that is a requirement to be on this committee. Same thing with us doing the online webinar for ethics training. The district paid the fee for the webinar because it was required. The only thing I think any of us should be reimbursed for, or the district to cover, should be things that are absolutely required for us to be on this committee. That the board says, you have to do this. But travel expenses, no.
I have a question to the chair. What was the origin of this item? You guys, oh, well, thank you.
You want to
clarify? I don't want to, you know, sound ungrateful. I mean, I agree with Karen.
No.
I looked at the bylaws. This is the sort of thing that would have to be in the committee's bylaws, because reimbursement is a bylaw item, and we don't have it, obviously. Nor does the CCSD board have any reimbursement for committees in its bylaws, and so we would have to change that. And then there's the issue, I think, as Karen is pointing out, under the government code, it really does have to be stuff that's required to carry out your duties, and that's actually state law. So, long story short, I think we can let it pass, but, you know, appreciate the gesture.
Yeah, I think the way to handle it is when we address the bylaws of the committees again, which will probably happen in December, that we should add a short sentence in the bylaws that says no reimbursement. So just so that it's clear to everybody that there's no reimbursement whatsoever unless it is a requirement as an official whatever.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think that that's what we're missing is maybe a policy or whatever that's in there, because I'll just share my experiences. I fielded like 4 emails about this one light item here. And it's amazing the amount of response that you get and concern from the public with that. And it's an optics thing, so that makes any sense where we just got it.
So my only thinking was, if you're going to make a decision about something really significant, you should be educated about it. So if you're going to decide to put a desal plant in, for example, you should probably go see a desal plant. And we should pay for it. The taxpayer base should pay for that, because it's a significant decision. And that reimbursement would be subject to board and or committee chair decision. I mean, it's not like everybody automatically gets reimbursed for anything.
I think it should be a board decision.
I think it's rare enough that would happen, that it might be done as a, you know, one-time decision. Because you also have to figure out where the budget this money will be coming in and everything like that. But I think that might be, rather than having it become a thing where all 15 members of the standing committees might apply for reimbursements and stuff, because you're opening up a lot of potential there, I would make it something that would be on a case-by-case basis, by board action, any specific board action.
Well, but I think it's good to put something in there that sets the expectation that you're not getting compensated, because that establishes a precedence there, and then if there's something that's on top of that,
I think the other balancing statement is that the boards are serving as advisory committees, not decision makers.
And I have to agree with Paul. I got numerous angry phone calls, emails, and a personal confrontation over this item. Because
in Cambria.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anger that even the thought of any of us being reimbursed for travel expenses or anything like that. Yeah. It's been fun since this came out.
All right. I will work on some wording to get in front of the board for bylaws. All right, we're now on 3A.
Wait.
We changed them around.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no record on that.
Good. All right, item 3A is discussion and consideration to form ad hoc committee to research off-site water storage possibilities. This was sent to us by the board, asking us to do this. So we can either form the ad hoc committee or we can tell the board that we don't want to do it after having discussed it. Okay? So I would recommend that we go ahead and do it just because we need to investigate every possible water source that we could possibly have. And even though we certainly don't have any money to do anything, nor do we want to burden the staff with more requirements, I think an ad hoc committee of a group of us could probably investigate, you know, what are the steps necessary to get there, what's the financing look like, you know, is there a grant program that would specifically address this, all of those things, okay, and then report back to this committee and say, you know, this is the path, and these are the obstacles that we see that are that remain to head to that part of that direction. And if it's mainly financial, then, you know, we have to at some point as a board address that, okay. Where do we find extra money to come up with another place for us to explore?
Just so I can, I had a question about the definition of what the task is. When you say off-site water storage, does that include things that are actually being done? For instance, watershed management and flood management, where you're taking basically having things like catch basins and the tributary streams to slow the water down, enhance the aquifer, and so forth, or is this simply reservoirs? And how are we defining the what we're looking for here?
I think it's all of that, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's basically looking at every opportunity that's out there, mm-hmm, that is big in scope. We've already got the conservation people looking at if an individual home was in a rain storage tank, that's off-site storage, okay, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something we would do on a district-wide basis outside of individual homes being
okay,
their own off-site storage or recycle or whatever. When you raise your hand, I recognize you, okay?
Yes, ma'am. You're on.
Yes, we are on number A because we delayed. Because we heard
you.
Somebody wanted to come and speak.
Thank you very much. That was very considerate of you. I did have something to say when you're all done.
You might as well have
okay,
a comment, actually.
So we're at a point where we're trying to decide which way we should go. We were just having a discussion about the broadness of the committees. The ad hoc committee's agenda, so to speak.
So this was on the off-water storage possibilities.
Yes.
So I guess my number one question would be, before you get too far into this, where is the money for any kind of off-storage possibility?
Well, that would be one of the things that we would ask the committee to look into. How much would it cost to get started? You know, are there grant programs? Are there other programs that we could look at that would help us fund that so that we would know in the future, yes, there are, no, there aren't, so that at least we'd have an idea as to what we're looking
at. Yeah, what it sounds more like, and I think we were covering this before you got here, was that we're moving more towards maybe even making a report as opposed to it being necessarily we're going out and actively finding a solution right now. It's to generate a report for the board to look at.
Find a solution for...
What I understood we were discussing before is the concept that we would have a lot of different options. We'd look at the off-site storage options that we have and look at the weigh pros and cons for each of those and then generate a report that would go to the board to look over.
So what off-site storage solutions do we already have?
We don't even
options,
know.
Options, I mean.
That's what we're asking at our committee to look at. What are all the options that we can look at? Because, you know, Tom brought up one of having some small... What did you call it?
Well, it's like watershed management or flood management, where you get the water to slow down basically so that it doesn't flash out to sea during the rainy season. It stays in the aquifer. And Santa Rosa Creek there is a project being done on Santa Rosa Creek, you know, along those lines. And so it has potential. Bureau of Reclamation and the Resource Conservation District are active in, you know, either funding or managing those things. So stuff like that that is a smaller scale. I had a question, though, on cost issue. You talked about the cost. Are we kind of asking ourselves to have a little more expertise than we have to figure out what things will cost? Because a lot of it's kind of an engineering question about any sort of major or even a minor construction of something. We don't really know. We're not really on this board. I don't think we have people who are...
That's true of everything, isn't it? We don't understand pumps and what they cost per se, or what the back of the truck costs, except what they tell us.
But who do we have to tell us what things cost? That's what I'm saying. Like our own knowledge is limited, but we, to make an intelligent decision about something and the cost of something, we have to have bring in some expertise to give us an engineering estimates or, you know, anything, even ballpark, because. We are.
Well, I think, you know, that we can do some research, and if we come up with nothing, we come up with nothing, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's possible that there's a dam that was built, you know, 5 years ago in Northern California or Southern Oregon or something that cost $5 million. So we look at the scope of that, and we say, well, if it cost them $5 million, it's going to cost us just to build the dam, this much money. And then we have to factor in all the other costs that we'd have to go through. Mm-hmm. Hiring an engineer, doing all the other stuff. And this ad hoc committee would kind of look through, okay, what are all the steps that are required in order to get to where we would want to be? Okay, mm-hmm. Including, you know, the Coastal Commission and licensing and all of those different things that we would have to go through, mm-hmm. before we got to this.
Okay, so that brings me to another point. First, the cost item. Secondly, why are we doing this before we even have a regular CDP for the project that we've spent millions on? We can't afford another project. We cannot afford a project of this scope right now, or a long time in the future, from what I can tell. Why would you even be wasting time right now on something that, it made sense in 2013, believe me. It doesn't make sense right now.
Well?
It would if we had like X million dollars to spend, of course it would.
The board asked us to look at this,
okay?
So
the board did, okay.
Yeah, the board sent this down to us and said, we would like you to look into doing this, okay? And I think the board did it, unless I'm mistaken, because Mr. Warren has been in our face pretty much about wanting to get something done. He came to another meeting the other day and asked again, could you look into this? He's asked the general manager to go visit him. He's asked the new district engineer to go visit him. And so there's some impetus there from the community that says we would like this at least looked at. And the board said, okay, let's look at it. And so here we are on the subcommittee.
You know what? I'm going to say this. I have every board, every graph that was put together for the 2014 workshop. If you want information, I can just bring it to you. I don't understand. Now, Mr. Warren has not asked for all these people. Actually, people have asked to go see Mr. Warren about it. What he said to you at the podium the other day was that the property is still available if you're interested. He hasn't been pushing this down your throat. Others have gone to him, and he's been willing to give site visits. But you know what? He's not going to get an appraisal on that property until you guys really are serious about something, and I don't blame him.
Well, that,
it's costing him money.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, why now? Why now when we're a mess financially?
And I'm just throwing a silver lining to some of this is that there might be some value in just having a discussion about it and having this open forum. I mean, I realize it's an ad hoc committee, but there's going to be reports that come from that, and throughout the process. This may not be the silver bullet for this situation, but I think it's a good exercise to do because it's showing that there's community members involved with discussing what's going on. We may not have the expertise or whatever to come up with an engineering quote for what it's going to cost to do something, but at least we're having a discussion about what the pros and cons would be. So.
I'm still, you know, going,
go, no,
Karen,
go ahead.
Go on, Karen.
No, you go.
I'm still skeptical because that we are, if we, you know, we're talking about a particular proposal that has been around, as Tina notes, for 7 years or so now. And I was at that workshop back in 2014, and there was quite a bit of information. There was not much cost information, but a lot of detail about the engineering.
That's up to the CCSD.
Yeah, but I'm saying that if this is about that proposal, I do think, you know, there's been plenty of discussion about it, and I don't see why we have to have an ad hoc committee to look into what has kind of been pretty well patched over. If there are other proposals, out there that are maybe have potential, I'd like to see that.
We want the ad hoc committee to look at all the options.
Well, now what are the other options other than the Clyde Warren Reservoir?
Well, there was one in this report that was done, okay?
And that was, of course, a very expensive option.
The Army Corps?
$50 million.
The Army Corps, right?
Yeah.
70.
There's 70 lifetime.
Which you brought up about the pond retention and getting...
And that's a whole different...
aquifers.
And those are things that are
right?
Very...
If we were able to do that on San Simeon, would that help? What are they thinking that they're going to get out of what they're doing up there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that's good information to know. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they asked us to do this ad hoc committee just specifically for the Warren project.
No,
my memory may not be correct, but I thought we were asked. A suggestion was to look at all of the projects that the Army Corps of Engineers had listed out through the years of their research too, as well as things like what Tom is saying. It wasn't specifically focused on the Warren project. It's to look at whatever else might possibly be out there to help us with our water supply.
We already have that information. It's all there.
Yeah, it's all there. It's in that
book.
Why do you need to put an ad hoc committee together?
Because we want to look at other options.
Well, then maybe.
What other options? There was Whale Rock. And there was the Warren, and there was the Army Corps for $70 million, three canyons up further on east on San Simeon Creek Road. What are all the options? Nacimiento was mentioned. What else? What are you guys going to look at? I mean, you're talking about ponds.
Well, when we sit down, we'll hash it out, and we'll see what we look at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested in finding out what the conservation people think they're going to do with these ponds and stuff.
If that is the, you know, of course, water conservation or soil or watershed management and flood management is a somewhat different thing from simply building reservoirs. I mean, it's different. It's quite different, actually, because the idea is you maintain the health of the aquifer by preventing flooding, essentially, preventing the water from just racing down to sea during the wet season, and you have a healthier aquifer, it stays higher longer, and it's particularly interesting right now because a number of property owners are working on this on Santa Rosa Creek. That's a storage, it's in a sense it's a storage project, and it's also something that is, where there is grant money in play for that, and it's small grants, it's like $50,000, $100,000 that go to the particular property owners, and maybe CCSD will go out and get involved with that, but I don't want to. My thinking is, if there's going to be an ad hoc committee, I think you should be focused a little more. Focused not on everything that the Corps of Engineers went over in 2013, but on things that we could do now and that we might be able to get money for now. And I'm agreeing with Tina on the money part, because all of the stuff that was very thoroughly analyzed there is actually more expensive. It was more expensive going in than what became the EWS. A lot more expensive. So I don't see any. any value in those, because those are also intended to solve the problem that the EWS was built to solve. So,
well, I'd like to just make a different point of view about that. A lot of us in town were very frustrated when we did the presentation by CDM Smith about alternatives, and many felt as though we got this recycling system shoved down our throat as the only alternative by the end of it. And so I think there's considerable interest in actually going back and looking at some of the other alternatives that were dismissed or presented and not pursued. Some are impractical, I'm sure of that. But, you know, right now we're faced with a pretty impractical situation, too. So I don't see that as necessarily a disqualification. So personally, I would like to see an ad hoc committee take a look at the full range of alternatives. And if they come back and say, you know, basically you've got them all right in front of you, so, you know, make your choice, that seems to me to be a worthwhile result to obtain. And certainly you can't beat the cost. You know, I mean, our meeting here is free. We, you know, if we're going to waste our time looking into it, and if the board has directed us to do that, then I think we should go ahead and do it. And I would volunteer to be on it also.
Okay. I'd volunteer to be on it too, just because it's something that I feel like I haven't been here, so it might be a really good opportunity for me to go through and just look at it from a new set of eyes slash also learn.
Okay, so we have two volunteers. Anybody else? I'd be glad to do it.
Yeah, I figured you would.
Yeah.
We also, we also have a video of that meeting where the engineer, the hydrologist, was there and questions were asked and answered. But I certainly have a lot of info on that particular, you know, option.
I think we'll be in touch with you to get what information you have so that we can look at that, and that'll be one of the things.
And I'm not pushing that, believe me. I'm concerned about money right now, how we pay for anything else.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we definitely have to address is financial. How would we fund anything that we would be looking at and stuff? So, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So it's you, Paul, and Jim.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. We can take a vote, or is this going to be?
We need to take a vote, just so that everybody knows. So do I hear a motion to form an ad hoc committee?
Yes, with Dave and Paul and myself as members.
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor? Three. Opposed? One. So 3-1.
Does it have to be 4? No, because it's based on the quorum.
It's not a tie. It's not a tie. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. That wraps it up.
Yep.
Wraps it up. Have you already gone for G?
Yeah. We saved this one to last for you.
No, I asked for G to be.
Oh.
Oh, G.
Oh, we're getting at the. We're gonna hang out at Ritz for a weekend. It's gonna be super awesome.
Right. What did you decide on the team?
Trash that.
Trash it. All right, I'm good.
I just have one small one. As I was looking over the bylaws, I noticed that our meeting time needs to be changed on the bylaws. I don't think we actually do. We actually do that because these are the ones that were adopted last year, of course. And it's the old Tuesday, what is the second Tuesday? So just, there, I think it's a section, you'll find it. Where is it?
I'll look at it and we'll have a thing that we can
So your meeting is over 3 o'clock? And
section 7A.
Pretty good, huh?
We're efficient.
I know, the problem is, I know it's your committee, but I thought it was always at 3, so I've come to some, and now I have a class till 2:30, so I'm going to miss most of the meeting. Obviously, I would have missed pretty much all of this.
Yes, sir.
David, perhaps I should mention this a little bit earlier, but I talked with Brady Enzo a week after he got on board here, and we talked for about an hour, and he brought it up, and I didn't bring it up. I said he was interested and investigating all areas with regard to off-stream storage and that type of thing. So I contacted Mike Warren, and he went out there, and they talked, say, about a half hour, 45 minutes. It wasn't at Clyde's insistence that happened. I was just letting Ray know of one of the options that we have. It's mainly Ray is also interested in these types of alternatives, so that's a good thing.
Okay, yep.
Where is he, by the way?
He's at the workshop.
Okay. I was hoping that was the case.
All right, any other future agenda items? All right, we adjourn. Thank you.